What's going on?
What's good? Welcome. Welcome
Yo.
back.
It's Quarantine Cast, episode 81. What's funny is I feel like episode 80, when we had Drew, was like us talking about the whole pandemic, and we're like, what's this gonna be like? I don't know. Like, maybe it'll be over in a week, maybe over 2 weeks.
Terrible.
And then you have the SpongeBob transition where it's just like 2 months later.
Literally has been 2 months later.
That's actually almost been a month. I was looking today since our last podcast, maybe a little over a month. But yeah, it's just so crazy that at the time of that recording, we had no idea that it was going to be this long. It's funny, a friend of mine in LA, he was listening to that episode and he was telling me today, he was like, that's so funny that you guys had like no idea what was going to
Yeah, bro,
happen.
it
And
was weird, man. It was so tongue in cheek. We were just like, yeah, it'll be
yeah.
over. And
Yeah, let
2 months later.
me switch this, make a little headroom a little less, be a professional for once.
Yeah, all them Zoom calls, shout out.
Yeah, man. But all right, man, let's get into it. Let's do the Andrew Cast thing. Let's talk gaming. So what's up with Final Fantasy VII, man? Tell me.
Are you gonna play it? That's the first thing I gotta ask.
Yeah.
You are gonna play it?
Oh, am I gonna play it?
Yeah.
Eventually. I don't think I'm gonna play it now though.
Why is that?
'Cause I played the demo and I didn't, it's not that I didn't like it. It's I just kind of found it weird. It wasn't exactly how I expected it to be. Like it wasn't really turn-based, it wasn't really live action, and it wasn't Final Fantasy 15 type battling either. It was like this weird middle ground. And I think it took a bit for me to get used to, and I wasn't feeling it right away. So also, the problem with me in games is that I feel really guilty like buying games and not finishing them because of the price point, man. They're kind of expensive,
60
you know? So
bricks.
like, yeah, and it's just like I try and finish a game that's in front of me before I move on to another one. And that's hard, man. So, but there's no urgency for me to play it. Also, the fact that there's going to be like three of these makes me want to wait even longer because they'll make some collection where it's all three episodes together.
But that's gonna
Like
be
I could
so
wait 3 years to play
long.
this.
That's like
I
that's
could.
like the Kingdom Hearts like method, man. It's so long.
Yeah. I
Bro,
don't know, man.
and
I could
like
wait.
Kingdom Hearts, you know what's funny? I finally played the Kingdom Hearts DLC.
Yeah.
And it pissed me off 'cause it made me fall in love with the game again.
Yeah.
Bro, 'cause I loved the game and then I remember we were talking about this. Then once like that first 2 weeks passed, we were like, you know what? Nah. Like we expected a little bit more
But
in the
once the
game.
hype wore off, yeah.
Bro, once you get past like all the bells and whistles, man, just those whole stupid summons are not it. Like you can turn them
Yeah.
off, but the fact that they
So
made that like such a huge staple with selling the game is kind of annoying.
yeah, but I mean, as long as you can toggle something off, it's not really that much of a
True,
deterrent.
true.
So, what do you like about the DLC? You just like the extended ending, or do you like
Well,
the
yeah, because
Organization
they
13
it made
bosses?
so here's the funny thing. This is a level two theory. So level one is getting the ending that we got. Level two is going a little further. So we're thinking a little more on the outside of how the game ended. So Nomura, who's a creative director of Kingdom Hearts 3, right? He was pulled off the game to be put on Final Fantasy VII Remake. They put the whole original crew who made the game back on this one. And also, I don't think that these are going to take that long to make because a lot of people who worked on the original game are kind of older. So I think they're going to try and get these games out fast because I think Nomura is like 40 something, but a lot of people on his team are like close to 60 something. So it's
Yeah.
like, this is their child. They're definitely trying to work as best as they can with it, but at the same time, try and get this out as fast as possible so everyone can see the fruits of their labor, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's an age thing. Just really quickly to before we return to Final Fantasy, just to comment on the Kingdom Hearts 3 DLC. A lot of people were upset because it was $30 for essentially. Yeah,
it was kind of steep for something that it looked like it was deliberately cut from the game too. Like it should have been in the base game.
Yeah, yeah, I can see why people are saying that. My qualm with it is this, and this is the only problem I have with it, because like Kingdom Hearts, for me, it's like the Futurama meme where. Take my money. Like, that's what it comes down to. I love the series. I bought like, the super expensive DLC, the one with that had the orchestra in it.
Bro, they're still selling that for $40. Like, I'm thinking about it. Is it good?
So, I mean, I'm a collector of all things Kingdom Hearts. So, yeah. I love it. I don't really have a problem paying more for it. It's just something I really am interested in. But I think my big problem with it is that previously, I don't want to say with other DLC because this is like the first Kingdom Hearts DLC of all time. Mm-hmm. But when you have the most updated save of your game, you can save over it without any consequence. Right. So I got to that Organization 13 room and I saved over my main game, meaning I didn't make another save slot for the DLC save. Right. I just assumed that the game would be like, oh, this is DLC. The only way you can get the DLC is if you beat the game, right?
Right.
So it's just part of the complete story. You can return to the base game at any part. But no, you have to save the DLC separately.
Yep.
So what happened was I was like, okay, I'm going to grind Sora up so I can beat these Organization 13 bosses and then go ham.
Right.
So I tried to leave the Organization 13 boss battle room and it wouldn't let me.
It doesn't let you.
I'm not sure if anyone else has done this. If somebody listens to this and you did that, please tell me if there's any fix.
Yeah, it keeps you. It like keeps you in. Like once you're in the DLC, it's like you're in the DLC.
It's crazy. There is no exit, and I was like, dang. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm probably not going to return to that game for a while. What I was going to do is
also very poor design too. Very poor design to do that.
What the? Like, oh, the whole save thing.
Yeah, the whole save.
Well, they should
thing.
Give you a warning. As all they would have to do is just you open up the DLC and a little dialogue box comes up that just says, please save the DLC separately from your main game so you don't overwrite it. And I just overwrote like 30, 40 plus hours of my time.
Can't go back.
So, but it's cool. I was planning on replaying Kingdom Hearts 3 anyway with more of like an open mind, you know, with less hype. Critical mode, and I was just going to run through critical mode, actually skipping most of the cutscenes and just focusing strictly on combat.
So my plan is to beat the game. Remind DLC?
No, I beat the ending. Mm-hmm. I beat the ending, and then I went to the Organization 13 bosses, and I just wasn't strong enough to beat any of them.
Yeah.
Because I played the game once in the hardest difficulty before Critical came out.
Proud
and
mode,
I beat
which
the
wasn't
secret
hard.
Boss. Yeah, but the secret boss was pretty hard. So I beat the secret boss, and I was like, I guess my sword is pretty strong, but it's nothing compared to these bosses.
They be
I
feel smacking like, you around, bro.
I feel like the DLC was... you know, the developers at Square were watching social media and they were looking at the complaints and, you know, people complained there wasn't any Final Fantasy characters and it's not hard enough.
Yep.
So they put Leon and Yuffie in the DLC to kind of quench their thirst for that. And then they just made the Organization 13 bosses insanely hard.
Really
so it's just
they
like, it was almost like a middle finger to the people that were complaining.
Yeah.
And I get that, but I'm like... Dude, my Sora that I completed the story with is nothing compared to these guys. Like, give me a little leeway.
The only thing I didn't like, like, the story beats in the DLC is, like, especially with Sora, now that he's, like, trapped in the whatever the thing's called, it's like, why couldn't you just, all you had to do was just say a dialogue of that in the original game, just saying that they have to save him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, or that Kairi knew what happened.
I'm going to be honest with you. I stopped like really paying attention to the Kingdom Hearts story. I play it now mostly for like the aesthetic and the nostalgia. It's not that it's a bad story.
It's so convoluted.
Just, not only that, but it's just kind of surreal. I feel like the intention of it is not to be a very solid narrative. It's like more of like a dreamy kind of in and out, almost whatever goes scenario,
and
I'm fine
and
with
I would,
that.
I would agree with you, but the problem is that Kingdom Hearts 2 and Birth by Sleep were such tremendous narrative games.
Yeah, no,
I
definitely agree.
They were so good. And then
I know,
it just gets weird.
I think one of the most ingenious things of Kingdom Hearts 2 is that the secret boss, the whole cutscene with Terra, Aqua, and Ventus in the armor, and just... years before Birth by Sleep was even a thought for anybody who played video games, and everyone just kind of pontificating on what those characters might be. You know, I heard somebody say that the Terra armor was Sora's dad. Some people said it was Sora from the future. Like, a really exciting part of my childhood was trying to guess what that cutscene even meant for the series. And then you find out it's a prequel and it blows your mind. So I agree with you, Sheldon. I think that Kingdom Hearts 2 really did a lot for the story, and the Kingdom Hearts games before, even the prequels, built up to something. Mm-hmm. And Kingdom Hearts 3, that's where it kind of was like, okay, there's two Rikus, everyone's fighting. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to sit back and enjoy this for what it is. It's just a fun ride. I don't really pay attention anymore. I still love Kingdom Hearts. I think that just because the story was a little lacking in the third one, I don't think it's a bad series.
No, it's not.
But yeah, the DLC, I'm going to be honest with you, it's okay. Is it worth the price? Totally not. No, totally not. But I just love Kingdom Hearts. So. Yeah, I love Kingdom Hearts. I'm not going to not buy it. Like, I own three versions of every game. It means so much to me. And so... Right. I don't think it's right what they're doing, but
we're Square messed up with Kingdom Hearts 3. They found the solace with Final Fantasy VII Remake.
That's what I'm hearing, man. I hear everybody giving great. Yeah, exactly. And I hear everybody giving really positive reviews, and you said that it's perfect, so I want to hear your take on it.
So Kingdom Hearts 3, right? So, well, I'll touch lastly on this. So Kingdom Hearts 3 obviously was trying to sell on nostalgia, right?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't do it that well. Because, like, you know when you can do nostalgia, but when you're trying to retread beaten, like, certain narrative beats again, it's like...
Yeah.
You know, it's like... Mm-hmm. And it fell kind of short narratively.
Mm-hmm.
What Final Fantasy did was take a four-hour section from the OG game, so the Midgar section, if anyone has played it or not played it.
Which is a very memorable section of the game.
Yeah, because a lot happens in those first 4 hours. Like, a lot happens. And to be fair, like, because I'm replaying the game now, it's very rushed. The beginning of the game is very rushed because that's not the bulk of the game. The bulk of the game, like, opens up after that.
Yeah.
So what part one of this remake series, remake sequel type thing, did was take that four-hour experience and... expanded it by at least 40 hours.
Yeah.
Yes, there is padding in there, and like there's a lot of stuff that I was just like this just feels like it's just clocking for runtime. But the combat is so good. The combat is so good, especially because, like you said, when you first, you know, the Mako Reactor 1, that demo, literally the first mission in the game. Like, when you get the game, it's the first thing you do. It's very boneless. But once you get past that, it opens up and the combos and like everything starts like opening. Like,
I'll take that.
Dude, and like I'm at a point where I'm chaining combos and like magic and all this stuff. And I like the fact that they made this hybrid Kingdom Hearts style attack with kind of the old Final Fantasy like tactical menu at the same time. You get to a point where you're really good at like managing the two.
Can you switch battle styles in the game? Like, does it have an alternate battle style if you don't want to play that way?
What do you mean?
So, say I don't want to play in the default fighting style that the game wants. Like, can I turn it to turn-based? Is there a way to, like,
go it's called classic mode, but it makes the game too easy. Like, way too easy.
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't put them up, like, three lined up. It's like, they're standing there, and then you have the tactical menu open and you just like pick their attacks and what they do. It's not, I don't think it's fun that way. Like, it's, but that's the closest they have to like,
you said it makes it easier. So turning it
is way too easy. It's more for like a narrative experience. Like, it's way too
easy. Oh, okay. So that's like, if like fighting isn't really your thing, you're more of a story guy.
Yeah. Like, you could do it like that and like get the story in the fastest way possible, which is fine. But
yeah,
it's just not fun. Cause the game does have challenging fights. So I recommend playing normal, kick your ass a little bit, not too much. And then when you beat the game, go back on hard, because then they change the mechanics of all the boss fights.
Oh, wow.
So they have a little more different stuff, not just like obviously stronger, but the AI is intensified, and also like certain things in the battles change, which is kind of cool. And also when you do hard mode, there's no item use. It's like you're going like HP, MP, like got to play it smart.
So is that what you're playing on?
Yeah, so right now I'm redoing all the stuff that I missed. So I'm just completing the lore to get the 100% trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to go in hard mode. I played the first level in hard mode. It was tough. It was
how do you go about 100%ing a game? Like, do you Google it? You know, like, how do you go about finding all the stuff that you didn't do?
What I do when I try to 100% a game, my first playthrough is, like, obviously a blind one. So I'm doing my best to get everything without spoiling myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, like, doing all the side quests, trying to find all the items in every area. So if I beat the game and I miss stuff, then I'll go to a guide and be like, all right, where's this at?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So that's what I do. But this one, you don't really need a guide. It's kind of like, they kind of tell you once you beat it, they're like, this is what you missed.
Okay.
And this is kind of how you get it. So it's like pretty easy because they try to gear you up for hard mode. They want you to replay, which is good.
So what you're saying basically is that the demo is kind of like an empty version of the combat, and later on it gets more fun.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, I can buy that, man. And I don't know. I might get this game because you're kind of selling it to me now. Because I thought the whole game was going to be just like that. Because that's what demos are.
Yeah, of course.
It's like a demo is supposed to be like, all right, this is what you're going to get.
I think that demo was just for the people like who played the OG and it's like, listen, this is going to... Because here's the funny thing. There are things in the demo that they cut out from the actual game. So if you beat the demo... Like the narrative that's told in the demo, there's a lot that's cut out. So when you redo that same portion of the game in the beginning, there's stuff that they added in that they didn't include into demo because it would obviously spoil it, but it was nice. Yeah.
But also it prolongs it because I know, and at least in the classic Final Fantasy, I might be wrong, but before you get to that robot boss in the reactor, you have to like go on the train and there's the whole pickpocket scene and stuff like that. Am I wrong? I guess I don't know. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe there's one.
Yeah, that's before the Mako Reactor 5.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But one of my issues with the OG as I'm playing it, like, and I understand that, you know, Final Fantasy VII is hailed as one of the best games of all time, and it definitely deserves it because in 1997, who would have thought that RPG would have been that narrative intensive?
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of errors in, like, the translations, and I can see it a little bit.
You mean it has, like, an awkward dub?
Yeah, well, there's no voices, so it's all text, but, like, some of the text is just, like, it doesn't make sense.
Oh, you're talking about the original Final Fantasy.
Yeah, the OG.
Yeah, the OG. Original Final Fantasy VII is definitely a lot of the dialogue is very weird. And I was playing this one, and you could still, like, feel that weird Japanese-ness that it had.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It's definitely there, but, like, the dub plus the context of the words that you are reading from the story, it makes sense. There's nothing in this game until you get to the end where it gets kind of meta that doesn't make sense.
It gets meta, like...
Yeah, it gets pretty meta.
Yeah, so I heard, and this is... If anyone's listening to this and is super interested in Final Fantasy, obviously that's pretty much all we're going to be talking about this episode. We're about to spoil a little bit.
Not too much.
Spoiler warning right here. So, like, time travel is involved. I know that much. And I know that, like, I guess Sephiroth is the one time traveling to change the events of the original narrative, right?
So, time travel was kind of always involved with Final Fantasy VII. Like, this is, like, the only one in the whole Final Fantasy series that really deals with time travel, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 10 touches on it, but it's not really time travel. They kind of call it as, like, the summoning and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm reading a lot of good theories online, and a lot of stuff makes sense. So, Aerith and Sephiroth in this game know what's going to happen.
That's really cool. They
know what's going to happen.
Just off the bat. There's no explanation. They're not alternate versions of the character.
Right.
Just the setting is this time around, for some reason, they know the future.
So... Yeah, so here and now this is where it gets a little tricky with alternate timelines possibly being a thing. So the game follows pretty much all the same beats that the OG follows. But then things happen and there are these like dementor looking creatures kind of like from Harry Potter, those cloaked
like, yeah,
things, those
them, ghosts. Like
ghosts. They're called the Whispers. And what they're doing, they were made by the Fate and the Earth. The planet, sorry, so that when things happen, that destiny is always on course. Like, destiny is bound to happen. Like, you're destined to do this. It's kind of very anime-ish, where it's like, remember Neji from Naruto was like, oh, destiny, everyone has to follow the destiny. And Naruto's like, no, you shouldn't know what destiny, like, destiny should be unplanned type shit. So it's very similar. So there are certain events that happen where these things will show up because you're pretty much changing a course of the action from the OG. So they try to keep you on the same timeline. Aerith, being an ancient from, you know, whatever, and the Sentra people, she realizes this. And you can kind of tell, first playthrough, you will not notice it at all. Like, whatever, you're just thinking, oh, okay, like, it's just a reimagining. Second playthrough, I'm like, yo, she knew from the jump. Some things that she was saying, like, with context, you're like, oh, same thing with Sephiroth. He knows what's going to happen, because when you get to the end of the game, he starts mocking Clouds. He's like, so what are you going to do with 7 seconds this time? Bro, in like 7 seconds, it's from the first game where there was 7 seconds for Cloud to defeat Sephiroth or else the meteor was coming down.
Yeah.
So the fact that Sephiroth says that to him in this one, Cloud's like, what the hell are you talking about? And Seth and Cloud, yeah, and Cloud's also suffering from like his, you know, those glitches that he gets sometimes.
Because,
you
know, he gets like these classic anime emo boy headaches where he's like, ah, the memories.
Right,
it's
because
too much.
Spoiler alert, but this is, if you play the original, everyone should kind of know. Those are Zack's memories.
Yeah.
So in this, he's kind of seeing future events, and he's like, oh, what is this? He's like, is this the future, or is this, like, something else? So that's interesting as well. And also, the cover art of the game, I have it digitally, but I don't know if it's different for people. If you look at, like, the promo art, Sephiroth has a black wing. Sephiroth never had a black wing in the original game. When did Sephiroth get his wings? Advent Children.
Oh, okay.
So, and there's something else that happens late in the game that could be a very strong theory of the Advent Children, those three dudes. So, yeah, Sephiroth has a wing towards the end of the game, and you're like, what the hell? Like, because remember, he was like the ancient and also like the angel and like the Geo Sigma. It's very convoluted. But it's not as bad as Kingdom Hearts with, like, the confusion stuff. I would just have to, like, read into it a little bit more. But, yeah, man, like, critically, I would give this game, like, a 9, 9.5. But personally, it's a 10, dude. I enjoy
every
moment.
You said
a
big weak point of it is that it retreads a lot of gameplay to kind of extend the runtime. Like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah,
just,
so,
like, fighting?
So, like, padding where it's, like, there'll be some quests in there that are kind of, like, really redundant, like fetch quests. And there's this one section in the game where you get sent into, like a sewer, we'll say. And it was, like, a really pointless, like, it didn't move the narrative at all. It was something that was, like, really just silly, kind of.
My thing is, in RPGs, fetch quests are okay as long as the place that you're forced to explore is like kind of new and also visually appealing. So it's like, oh, like it actually entertained you on your way to dropping off whatever item it is. So I feel like those can be done in tasteful
and
ways.
And that's fine, but some of the fetch quests like are a little like old, very old school style fetch quests, like find this girl's cats, go to this area, beat the bosses, then run back, then, oh, we heard reports that the little boss of these little minions showed up. You have to go back. Like, things like that.
Yeah. I don't know. You're actually kind of selling it to me now. That the combat gets better. That it kind of has a meta narrative. Because I'm all about that. You know, I
like
would
games
like,
that make me think, you know.
I would like to play a straight up remake of the original story. Mm-hmm. But I'm also open to twists, you know, how things are a little bit different.
And so that's where some of these, you know, Final Fantasy elitists and, like, you know, we talk about this so many times, like, people who are, like, think that they're gatekeepers for, like, a certain genre or a game or anything, like, shut the hell up.
Like, well, my thing is, worse. The Evangelion movies, they're exactly like the anime, although there's, like, certain different changes in the plot. Like, a character will show up earlier than expected, and then that changes a bunch of things going
that
forward.
That can help the narrative. When things like when they do that, like even if it's considered like a retcon, it can help.
No, I'm with it. I think what it does is it garners interest in something that's older and it breathes new life into new art.
Yep.
But I will say this, my one complaint with games like that is I believe that not only good game design, but good story design. You should have a plot and a narrative that doesn't require you to consult an outside source for you to fully understand.
I agree with that.
I shouldn't have to go to Google to figure out what happened. Right. Like it should be self-evident. Show, not tell, right? You know, treat your player like a smart person and stuff like that.
And so and this game does something interesting with like we were saying, we both pretty much know the story of Final Fantasy VII, kind of, or at least to an extent, right? And we know that there was other games included, kind of like what Kingdom Hearts does. Like, there was the Crisis Core one with Zack, where he was the main character. And like I was saying, how this game gets meta, if someone never played the OG game and they play this one, there's a moment at the end of the game that happens that people are going to be like, who the hell is that guy? Yeah, but for us, we're like, yo!
Yeah.
And they change something.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want me to reveal what they changed, but...
No, I before this podcast started, I probably would have told you to just spoil it, but I'm going to get around to this game eventually. Yeah. I'd like a little surprise at the end.
Okay, fair enough. But I'm just going to reveal one thing that Aerith does in this game that shows that she was aware. She's aware of what happens in the original and this one. So you might get it because there's also dialogue choices that you can make in this game too that do affect outcomes. So I got this cutscene. I was kind of pissed because I'm Team Tifa and I want nothing to do with Aerith. Like, that's just me personally. So there's this one part that happens as you get towards the end. Cloud has a conversation with Aerith after she gets captured, you know, and you have to go bust her out of Shinra. And she's talking to him. And she's like, she literally straight up tells him, she's like, you can't fall in love with me, Cloud. And he's like, what? Like, what makes you like think that? Why can't I have that choice? Why would she say that unless she knew what happened previously? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
And there's another part where...
There's many reasons for someone to say that.
right. But here's the thing. I'm not sure if I can agree with you. Here's the thing. It was never said in the original game.
Yeah,
that dialogue, because there's also other dialogue that I'm not involving, and it will give more context, but it will be very spoiler heavy.
Maybe I don't know. Again, I haven't played it, so
that part is like kind of intense. A very emotional game too, by the way. Very emotional game, which is good because they flesh out some characters.
Yeah, man, I'll definitely give it a try, eventually. But what I do want to say. Because I'm getting into another segue here of another game that's really popular. There's three big games out right now.
There's
Final Fantasy VII. There's Animal Crossing, and then there's Doom, which I'm playing right now. And it's a great game, man. Doom is like a really, really great game, and I mean that in the sense of story, and I mean that in the sense of gameplay, like. The story is simple. There's not a whole bunch of lore. Oh my gosh. It's very, very simple.
Raise hell, get out.
Oh, just like demons are on earth and there's a guy that he's not cool with that. And so he just takes a shotgun to everything he sees. And like, I really think that in this time, it's the perfect game to play. Like, because it's literally about one guy against the world and he has pretty much like a hazmat suit on.
It's very Duke Nukem. And his like biceps are like just like
awesome. But he doesn't say anything at all. Yeah, like, he doesn't talk. He just kind of does his thing. But I gotta say, for an FPS, because I'm really not into FPS. I'm not into competitive FPS. The only FPS I play is, you know, single player FPS where we have an actual campaign.
Yeah.
And this game's campaign is awesome. Like, it's unbelievably cool. It's challenging. And the combat is just really smart, man. Like, the way that there's no item pickups that bash you over the head. Mm-hmm. The way that you fuel your character is you kill these kind of fodder enemies that just kind of exist to attack you in the most minute way.
Right.
But you defeat them so easily. And they either yield health or ammo. Mm-hmm. So pretty much that allows the player to just constantly kill. Like, you don't have to search for items. You just constantly kill. And by constantly killing, you never run out of ammo or health. It's actually pretty genius. I'm not sure if any other shooters have done that, but the feeling that it leaves the player with is like that you're kind of untouchable.
And the glory kills.
Yeah, well, that's what the glory kills are. They're a way of harvesting either health or ammo. And that, like, gives the illusion to this player that they can't be stopped. It's so smart. But the thing is, you would think, if I explain that to you, you would think, oh, this game is so easy. It's going to be a crapshoot for anybody who plays first-person shooters. There's a difficulty setting on this game that if you die, it treats it like an old-school NES. You have to go back to the title screen. Like, it's brutal, man. I think it's called, like, Ultra Nightmare. I think it's called Ultra Nightmare, that mode. It's really, really cool, man. Now, the online multiplayer just looks like a cesspool. I watched somebody play it on Twitch, and I couldn't even understand what was going on. It looked very complex, so I'm probably not going to use that function at all.
To anybody that's,
I don't know, maybe the quarantine's got you a little angry. Maybe the lockdown's got you a little mad. You know, you're maybe, sick
maybe
and tired
you're,
of...
Maybe you're furloughed. Maybe,
yeah,
you're
maybe you're locked
let
in with
go.
Your girlfriend and she's annoying you. This is what you do, man. You go out and you buy Doom Eternal, and you play on the second hardest difficulty. You play it on Hurt Me Good. All right, that's the one you play on. And then you just let all that stress out, man.
Right. Kill some demons.
I can't recommend it enough. I know you're not really a fan of that
I just went, like, for me, like, in the games are fun. I was a big fan of, what Doom was it? 2004 Doom?
2016?
Doom 3. Nah,
Doom
3.
Oh, the horror-based one.
Yeah, the horror-based ones. The horror-based ones to me, like, because, you know, I love that scary shit. The horror-based ones, they were fun.
Yeah.
Because it was different, like, because, you know, the Dooms now are super fast-paced.
Yeah.
Where that was, like, slow. Like, it was slow. And I liked it a lot. That's, like, a classic to me. And what's the other game you said? Animal Crossing, right?
Animal Crossing is the other one
the
that everyone's playing.
World by storm.
You know why, man? Because it's...
Came out the right time.
But it's also substituting the kind of out-of-your-house progression that you would normally be experiencing. You know what I'm saying?
Tending,
like,
to your garden. You're actually,
you're building something.
It's like a bigger-sized Tamagotchi.
Yeah, it's keeping everybody sane. Animal Crossing is keeping everybody sane because it does echo Tamagotchi, or it does echo taking care of a plant. Like, we have this inclination to maintain things, and that's what Animal Crossing is. Donkey said it best. I watched Donkey's video on Animal Crossing, and he goes, "This game is super sneaky in the way that it keeps you coming back. You know, like every single day to check on."
Even
stuff.
Though I haven't logged into it in like 3 weeks, but that's because Fantasy came out.
I don't even own it. I can't play something like that,
bro. It is addicting. Natalia just got a Switch Lite 2 days ago, and she's been playing. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I think that game is for. It sounds so like gatekeepy for me to say that game is for people that don't game. But honestly, a lot of people playing it don't typically play video games.
Yeah.
And I've seen people even getting the mobile app because they feel kind of left out. You know, like, it's just like, and it's a beautiful thing. Again, to quote Donkey, he said, "I think this is one of the best Nintendo games for the platform. Like, I think this is going to go down 100%. As one of the best that Switch ever has to offer."
I'm so curious to know what they sold. I'm so curious to know what those sales look like.
Do you know that it's, like, super hard to get a Switch now?
Bro, Natalia had, she tried getting one for the past month.
She got the Lite, right?
She had to get the Lite. She's been trying to get one for the past month, and she got gray.
Okay.
She had to pay $300-something for the Lite, though.
Yeah. So this is what's going on right now. This is what's going on. This is how serious this pandemic is. not any of the awful, terrible things like people losing their job or getting sick. No, this is the true tragedy. if you right now try and buy. I'm not going to say a real Nintendo Switch, but the OG Nintendo Switch, the one that you can play Smash Bros. With your friends, the one that docks.
Can't find it.
The classic.
Forget about it.
You could find it, Sheldon, but it's like $500.
Right? Yeah, no.
It's $500. Mm-mm. You'll find it on Amazon. The shipping will never tell you when it's about to come in. It's probably going to come in next year. Like, they are so sold out, man. Like,
dude, if you think about it, these Nintendo Switches is literally the perfect console for this type of environment that we're currently living in.
Dude, it's crazy how
maintenance.
People...
You don't need a TV. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't need internet, really.
Yeah.
Oh my god, dude.
I know so many people that just like, I got a light. Like, I just got a light. I just got a switch light. I was thinking about it before the quarantine, and now I have it. And it, you can't find the OG anywhere.
Nah,
and
they're it's like, just, they're like literally gone.
Yeah, man. So I'm super lucky to have one. But yeah,
you
those
have
a, are the
you have the dock one, right?
Dude, I have the dock one, but I just found something out about Switch, and I'm not sure how many people know this or if I'm the last one to the party. So there's two types of docked ones. There's one that they made, like, the first wave of docked.
Yes, I think
which
what
has,
I got.
Like, an intermediate battery power. And then the second wave of docked, which is visually the same as the first wave.
Oh, yeah. There's two ways.
Has more battery power.
Yeah, you know how you know? It's so dumb. The different box color. No, not even that. The box is different. Yeah. So, do I have my
Does it have a different name, though? Is it called, like, Switch Plus?
No, bro, they're sneaky. They're sneaky. So you know
how that gets me so mad.
So you know how there was the PlayStation 4 that came out in 2013, right?
Yeah.
The standard one. Like the standard one where it was like very rectangular looking one.
Yeah. And
like,
it had sharp edges.
Sharp edges, thank you. Perfect word. Then they
sharp corners.
Then they did the slim, which was the rounded one, right? Then they did the pro. Now,
which is huge, yeah.
I have the pro and you have the pro.
Yeah, it looks like a pizza box. We have two, actually.
So, seeing all three of them, even though the Slim is the exact same one as the standard, it's an updated model. Performs a little bit better, right? You could,
the
you
slim,
could see.
The, okay, yeah.
So you can see. You can see a difference. Nintendo, randomly, out of nowhere, no announcement, were like, yeah, put those out. Let's update the standard dock ones, but just throw them out. Put them out there. No one will know. No one will know. Bro, you could put the PS4 and the PS4 Slim next to each other. Noticeable difference. Put the dock, the OG one that me and you have, and then the updated dock one. Can't tell the difference.
Right.
You can't see it. But the one to the right can last off the charger, the dock, for 8 hours versus me and you for like 5 or 4.
And I gotta say, that's like my most coveted feature of the Switch. I really wish that the battery lasted longer. And I'm sure the light's battery is insanely good, but
yeah,
Natalia
was playing Animal Crossing for like 8 hours off no dock yesterday.
Yeah,
8 hours, dude. Bro. My dock is like, if I take it off the dock and I'm playing Breath of the Wild, OG Final Fantasy, which is crap looking.
Yeah,
I get the flashing battery symbol in like 4.5 hours.
Yeah, 4 hours is like the typical one for me too. So maybe I have the first wave as well. But I noticed that there's two things that you can get for the Switch that I really want to get, and I'm curious if you have either of them. Number one is the AirPod extension. So it's not licensed, but you can get a little thing that plugs into where the AC goes on the Nintendo Switch, and it lights up, and it's a little Bluetooth beacon for your AirPods. So you can play Switch with the AirPods. Do you have that?
I gave my AirPods to Natalia, so I haven't had AirPods in like 8 months.
Yeah, I lost my AirPod charger.
I made like a life transition. I don't know what happened, but I went from AirPods and like wireless Bluetooth in-ear headpieces to now, let's see. So I got one Bose right here. Got the over-the-ears, right? And then I got Sony's AC4s or whatever they're called. Got these. Got my Beats right here. And then I got another one over there.
Meanwhile, I only own two headphones. You know, I've been working out. I've been working out with an AirPods, like the actual wired ones, and just one earphone works. Meanwhile, you got like six headphones that you use.
But no, it's funny. This is, I don't know if this is elitist or this just sounds stupid. So the ones I use for my PlayStation only, the other ones I use if I'm watching a movie, the other ones I use only if I'm listening to music, and then these ones I use if I'm at my desk.
I need to start organizing my life, man. I need to
Bro,
be like you.
It's nah, man. It's expensive. It's
but you don't.
Dumb.
You don't have the AirPod extension. Okay, so the other thing is, and this is another non-licensed attachment to the Switch, is the excess battery pack. So you actually plug like a battery pack. Now it's it's horizontal in design.
So it
lines up perfectly with the bottom of the Switch. And you just plug that into where the AC goes, and that serves as another battery.
Is it efficient? You don't have that either.
I haven't used it, man, but I saw it on Amazon. It completely sold out, but apparently, like, it extends the battery by like 10 hours or something like that. And it doesn't add much to the actual weight and size of the console. It's just, think of like a portable battery for your iPhone, mm-hmm. but it plugs directly into the AC with no wire or anything that you have to put in.
I like that.
Yeah, man. And that's like, if I was a more serious gamer, you know, I have a bunch of stuff I work on.
Yeah.
If I was somebody who had literally nothing to do but play video games,
yeah,
I would, dude, my Switch would just be, it'd be insane. Like, you wouldn't even be able to recognize it anymore. Bro, like, it would just look absolutely insane.
Bro, as soon as Final Fantasy dropped, like, so, you know, me and you, like, luckily we're still working. We still have our full-time jobs.
Yeah.
As soon as it hit 5 p.m., bro, you hear that beep, PlayStation turns on. playing FF7R from 5 p.m. till 2 a.m., going to sleep, waking up, rolling out of bed, walking over to my desk. 5 p.m. to the next day, beep, turn it on, dude. I beat the game in, I think, a week and a half, and I put about, like, between 5 to 8 hours a shift.
Dang, man. I went in, bro. You really did, though. That's
how much
a lot.
I love the game, man.
But also, you can only do it during this time.
Yeah, so, like, if this game came out and there was not a quarantine, yeah. Dude, this game came out the perfect time, too. This and Warzone came out literally at the perfect time.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have beat the game. I would still be playing it right now, I think. Like, first playthrough.
That's the thing, man. It's like, for once in your entire life, and I think that you should, as an adult, you should strive to maintain some sort of discipline in your life.
Yes, sir.
But this is the only time, dude, where you can literally stay up till 5 o'clock in the morning playing video games.
Get up,
roll out of your bed,
roll out of bed, and go right to work.
Not even. You can go work in your bed after you're done your shift, play more video games. Like, I don't think people understand that. Like, and I know a lot of people are like, you should treat every single day like you're still at work. Like, get up at the same time, get dressed.
Fuck that.
Yeah, man, it's like,
hey, man, like,
look, this is a really bad time, but this is the one time that you can, like, Kevin McAllister in Home Alone 2, where he had his parents' credit card, and he was just in New York City buying stuff, and he got his own hotel room and room service.
Oh my God, dude, you just reminded me. Like, I'm not paying for my Easy Pass right now. I'm not filling my car up with gas, so guess where that money's going to? Video games.
So today I filled up my car completely with gas, and I had this like really existential moment where I looked up in the sky and I said, when's the last time I filled my car up with gas? I can't remember when the last time
I filled my car up with gas. The day I left the office, when this whole, before quarantine started, so my company, it was like, I don't know, it was like a Friday, but I went home that Wednesday to work for the next 2 days at home. This is like before it got really bad, right?
Yeah.
I filled up my tank of gas from that day, right? That was 2 months ago, Andrew. Almost about to be 2 months. I turn my car on periodically, like once a week. Mm. I still have a full tank of gas.
Yeah, man.
And I've been sitting on that for, what, 2 months? Almost two months now?
It's crazy. It's crazy just coming to and from Philadelphia and just being like, I don't even have to pay attention to what time I leave.
I want to know what the global implications this is gonna have, like
more animals. Have you been watching the news? Like, they've had like bears and in India, monkeys, like all these animals that are local and native to the area are venturing more and more into populated areas because they're just not hearing cars, they're just not hearing people. So,
but what about like the smog and like pollution? I want to know what those levels look like. Like,
I do too,
you know what I mean?
I do too.
Dude, what if we just, like, extended, like, the Earth's, like, expectancy by, like, this is going to sound crazy and, like, really extremist, but, like, what if it was, like, another 100 years because we had such a reduce of, like, pollution for 30 days that it, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, stuff like
you
that.
Could,
like,
you could probably get other people in other countries to abide by that, but not here, bro.
Yeah.
We already had people protesting, man. We already had people.
Bro, you saw that? That just doesn't make sense to me.
It just, well, here's my take on it.
You're protesting social distancing while wearing a mask and staying 6 feet apart.
Right. So here's my thing.
I'm like,
there's different ways to prove your point than doing that. Let's be honest. if whether you believe it or not, it's not even a thing. Like, whether you believe this is all real or not, or whatever they're trying to say is, there's definitely a better way to prove your point than doing that. Like that's
so
definitely
dumb.
Counterintuitive. Oh, of course,
that was so dumb.
Of course, but yeah, you would never ever get Americans to be like, "Hey guys, I know social distancing is hard, but you gotta think about the Earth, man. Like right now, the ozone is better than ever." Bro, they would throw that guy in the ground. They would literally King K. Rule down throw him, where like he's just his half of his body is sticking out of the ground.
Like, and then hey, they buddy, would you just wanna bite the curb?
They would Donkey Kong wind up B and just boom, just hit him, bro. That's how it would go.
Then the Ganondorf kick to it.
Wait, he's talking about the straight down one?
Oh
like
my
the
god,
spike?
Terrible.
I love how that hits so hard that your character like flashes for a little bit. He's like, "Whoa!" I miss Smash, man. But yeah, this is for anybody listening, man. This is the one time, hopefully.
Yes.
Hopefully. I'm going to say
Let's preface that.
This is the one time in history where you can actually be like, you know what? I want to design my day the way I think it should be, man. Mm-hmm. So let you run your life.
Hey, don't let these corporations try to bully you saying that you can't work from home. Clearly it can be done.
Bro, even after this, think about it, man.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so many things are going to change. This is going to be insane.
It really is. I just hope that buffets survive, like I said last time on last podcast, and movie theaters.
I hope that I've said this to friends, like in my house, roommates. I don't know why I just said friends. I'm not my roommates. I hope that the xenophobia and like the racism towards like
Asians,
like especially local businesses wise. I see. Yeah. I've seen it get affected in Ben Salem a little bit, and feel it's so stupid that people will stop buying food from a Chinese restaurant that has been here for over 30 years.
Right, that has nothing to do.
Completely thousands of miles away from Wuhan.
Wuhan, yeah.
I don't know if like you know they could have family members. Who knows? I don't know. Like, why would you think that they could have food that could be contaminated from Wuhan? Like, that is such a specific area.
But I think people always operate like that. So this is what I thought.
They operate in fear.
When they called it coronavirus, I literally thought about the CEOs working at Corona and just being like, dang it, why did they have to call it that? Like, why couldn't they called it the Budweiser? Like, right. I feel like the implicit...
And then people stop buying Corona. It's like, what?
That's what I mean. I feel like I don't think it's like, I don't know the numbers, but I feel just by naming a pandemic Corona, you automatically have some decrease in Corona. Like, people aren't going to buy it as much. As silly as that sounds, like, people are going to be like, I'm not going to buy it. Like, it's just, we work off that implicit idea.
And then
like,
the corny teenagers
be
like,
it's a virus that
I got some Ronas. Who wants a Rona? Like,
it's the same thing, right? So it's like, oh, this virus originated in China. Therefore, I'm going to skip on the Chinese food. I'm not gonna watch Rush Hour, you know. Like, where does the line end? So yeah, there's a lot of racism and xenophobia and stuff. Is just really weird. I feel like
such a weird time.
Exactly like you said. Like, it's all a outcome of fear, man. Like, when you're afraid of something, especially something that you can't see, there's one of two options. The first option is to be like, okay, I can't see this thing. I'm afraid of it. All I can do is be safe. If I get it, God help me. But I'm not going to get crazy because there's nothing I can do about it. Yep. That's the healthy way to operate. The unhealthy way to operate is I'm really scared. So let me try and ramp up the things that I think I can control. Sorry, I said that really poorly. Let me try and control things that I shouldn't be able to control. Like, let me get a little crazy and out of my skin, and I live with a roommate. And I try and guilt the roommate every time he leaves the house. Yep. And I'm like, you should really stay in. And when the roommate comes back in, something you put him through like a car wash of Lysol. That's a whole different beast. So the moral of the story is, man, don't be afraid. Sit in, play video games, go outside, wear a mask, do a bonfire, and live your life, man.
Yeah, like, do your due diligence. And like, you know, obviously, like, don't put yourself in positions like, if you live with like people who are sick and stuff, like don't be going out and like rambunctiously like doing whatever. Like, just be smart. Like, you can still do what you want. Just wear a mask and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And please just don't be dumb and think that local places are going to be able to, I mean, you know, they very well could be, but at the same time, like, now more than ever, please support local businesses.
Yeah, man.
And I hope, like, I hope that these Asian Asian food places can make a comeback. You know, I hope, because that's, I know that that's just going to affect worldwide.
Like, it is going to be interesting to see. I mean, this is like the theme of the whole pandemic, but like how it's going to be when this is all done.
Yeah.
That's what everyone wants to know. Like, are people going to rush out right away?
I hope not.
And go start clubbing and go to the movie theaters? Like,
oh, we didn't even talk about that, bro. Think about the movie theaters. Is this finally the nail in the coffin that, like...
Well, that's what Chance said. And I talked to my roommate about it, and he's like a big movie guy. And he said that, you know, like, there's a lot of film purists and people that are really into film that are not comfortable with that idea. So there's still going to be a demand for it. But I can understand why they're probably not going to have like any sort of patron for a long, long time.
Like, bro, think
so
about
I see both sides.
Like, the movie theaters have been shut. Like, no customers at movie theaters for over 30 days.
Movies have been delayed. That's the crazy
part.
That's
the part that doesn't make sense to me.
Like, movies have been delayed.
Bro, I've been seeing albums getting delayed. I've been seeing movies getting delayed, video games getting delayed. I'm like, yo, everyone's home right now.
Now's the time.
Now is the time, because, like, Disney pushed back that Black Widow film, right? It was supposed to come out, like, last month. You have your own platform.
You have Disney XD, and that's what I mean. That's where, like, Onward
Disney,
is
Disney,
right now.
Disney Plus, like, sell it for
Disney Plus.
sell it for ten or fifteen extra dollars, and like, you could recoup some loss at least. Like, I don't understand the point. Like, the music one doesn't make sense to me. That's all people are doing right now is listening to music. The Weeknd literally sold 2 million copies in the first week or 2 weeks. Like,
if you're a big artist. You're right. I don't get it. What you should do is just drop it. But if you're a smaller artist and you were like, it's going to be the 1-2 punch.
Yep.
I drop the album and then I go on tour. I do understand that because for a lot of smaller artists, that's how they make their bread. So no one buys the album, but they bang with the music and they come on tour.
Right. I get that. Yeah. I get that. But the video game one, I can also understand the video game one because sometimes video games will still, you know, try and do updates, try and do last game. Bugs prior to launch, like maybe like close to like a couple weeks before it's supposed to come out.
So my opinion is that is the industry, like I said last podcast, that's ultimately going to succeed. I said it earlier during this podcast. You see a lot of people who are playing video games that don't typically play video games. Mm-hmm. Like, that must have these Sony and Nintendo and Microsoft marketing people dancing upside down and doing backflips.
But what sucks, like, when grandma's
playing Animal Crossing, you know that you hit a home run, man.
Yeah, 100%.
For real.
But what's interesting for Microsoft and PlayStation, like, this is the year that they're dropping their new consoles. Let's say this thing goes on a little longer than it should, right? But how are people going to go out and buy them? Think about that.
I mean, like, you Amazon it, but then it's just not going to come to your spot forever.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, dude, listen, we live in a very, very blessed society. Oh, dude, we live in a very blessed society.
Yeah.
If you're, and here's the thing, man, if your main problem is that your PS5 didn't come in 3 days,
you're in a good spot.
Yeah, man.
You're in a good spot.
Sitting pretty. So for me, bro, I've reverted back to original man. Bonfires, looking at the sky, running outside, doing stuff like that.
Yeah, I was running for a little bit.
Bro, I haven't got a haircut since like before this thing started.
Bro, look at this. This thing's...
Dude, I'm about to tie this back and just have like a afro man bun. I'm about to grow this as long as I can. I'm about to transform myself.
You look like Kratos. It's going to be like
the time. It's going to be like, yeah.
You're my boy.
I gotta play that too, man. I haven't played that.
Oh man.
Yeah, everyone's saying that's great. But we could just go on and on and on, man. So is there anything else you wanna talk about before we wrap this one up?
Believe that is it, my guy. I
Dude,
believe that's everything.
it's been great, man. Thank you for setting this up and for making this the first quarantine cast. Well, the
Quarantine,
second
quarantine,
quarantine
quarantine.
cast. Yeah, man. And I appreciate you, dude, just keeping
Yes.
me on task as always,
Always.
trying to make sure that we get these episodes out. So I owe you a lot, buddy. And this has been episode 81 of the Andrew Cast Inside. And we'll see you
Inside
next time.
edition.
Peace.